Extension University in Northern Ontario, Canada. And I have been working with the team over the past couple of years investigating hacker myths. And I must... I'll try to speak up louder. Can you hear me now? Hold the mic. Is that better? Okay, hi again. I'm Dr. Bernie Schell. I'm in the School of Commerce and Administration at Laurentian University in Northern Ontario. I have been working over the past couple of years with the team. Dr. John Dodge, who sends his apologies today, he couldn't be here. He actually was off to Britain to visit his daughter at the last moment. And he is our e-commerce specialist. And I'm going to say at the very beginning, I am an industrial psychologist. I am not a technical expert, okay? So I'm going to report today on our psychological findings resulting from a survey that was completed at H2K and at DevCon last July. Probably some of you sitting in the room here had completed the survey, which was a comprehensive 22 pages. Again, our objective was to try to debunk some of the myths that are prevalent in the media and to transmit to the public and to the community which myths are not founded and which ones are supported. So that is why I'm here today, to kind of give you a briefing on what we've found so far. Yes? Self-select. The question, how was the sample arranged? And it was simply a self-select arrangement. We basically set up a booth, both at H2K and at here. We also developed a web page regarding our study, and we enlisted the help of Dark Tangent and Bernie S. and said, can you help us get the word out to the community that we're doing this study? So word spread quickly. We didn't have a great response online, I'll be honest. People didn't trust us, and they didn't trust the system. And so they said, if you want us to complete this psychological survey about how hackers think and feel and behave, you've got to come and visit with us face-to-face. We did just that. In New York, some individuals who completed the survey also agreed to do one-on-one interviews with myself and Dr. Dodge, and so we have those recordings as well. The guarantee that we gave individuals was that no individual data would be released, that when we eventually transmitted our findings, we would provide group means and that sort of statistical analysis. If, on the other hand, we did ask for quotes from any individuals, or if we used any material that had been published in other journals or books, we did seek permission from the author. I'd like to now talk about our study a little bit, the parts of the questionnaire, and then move on to what we found briefly. I must say at the outset that we think that one of the important features of getting a response from individuals in the room and the attendees of the two conferences was that we had offered to provide personal summaries of the findings to individuals who wanted that information. We are at the stage now that we've done the sort of mass analysis, and in the end there were 216 usable questionnaires that were analyzed. So we're at the stage that we're ready to send to the respondents who requested it their personal summaries. Now, I'd like to keep this presentation as informal as possible. Again, Dr. Dodge had a little slideshow that he was going to do, but I'm not going to go there. I thought I'd try something a little bit differently. In a moment, I'm going to tell you what the 20 myths were that we investigated, But first, I'd like to just briefly go over the questionnaire so that you have an understanding of what it was that we had asked of the respondents. The first part of the questionnaire just has basic demographic questions about age, gender, the country they live in, schooling, and that sort of thing. The second part, and we got into how much time you spend online and what is it that you do. Have you ever been charged for a hacking-related crime? Did you get a sentence? Have you ever been charged for a non-hack-related crime? Did you get a sentence? What was your childhood like? Was there trauma in your childhood? So we went into quite detail about the background, the demographics, the personal situation. Part two, we looked at health symptoms, and I am a stress management expert. So I was particularly interested in the stress coping capability of the hacker community. I guess it's not a secret if I share with you that the media suggests that most hackers are addicted to their computers, poor stress copers, and neurotic methods, okay? And we were curious how true it to life is that profile, given the responses that you people shared with us and trusted with us. So, again, part two is very, very important. Health symptoms in the short term, and we used standardized instruments whenever we could. This was the Derogatis scale that I had used to study previous populations, including corporate leaders. Derogatis, yes, he's a researcher from the U.S., and he developed this it's called the SCL, the symptom checklist, to assess stress coping capability in the short term. So basically this section on stress included 56 symptoms, and we asked respondents for the past 2 weeks, how often on a 0 to 3 scale have you experienced these things, including having to ask others what you should do, feeling that people are unfriendly or that they dislike you, experiencing nausea or upset stomach, having heart pounding or racing, items of that nature. We also looked at mood disorder. Yes, sir? I'm sorry, I didn't hear your question. Okay, the question was, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I understand you're asking, could some people have been, I guess, faking their answers, twisting my chain, is that correct? And we did the usual checks, as we would normally with any sort of self-report instrument. We did the reliability and the validity checks. And again, if the individual was not consistent in the response set, then we deleted that set of inventories. Yes.
I personally think that studying the ones that failed or that showed up as invalid may be interesting in and of itself because it's a form of role play, is what it could be. And it may just be people feeling as bad as stuff, but it may be, I also could be considered a form of role play. And it may not be God if it's the subject of study. How hackers role play very well, but I think that would also be a very interesting thing to look at.
I agree. We were really, we believe, at the forefront of a long study, of a longitudinal study. And the point made here is probably those who were not answering reliably would have been an interesting segment to study, and I don't disagree with that, just that we had to go with what we had. We were hoping to get 400 usable questionnaires, which is the number that I got when I studied corporate leaders across Canada. but we were not successful. But I guess felt good at the end of the day that we had a cross section of the population, and I'll explain why a little bit later. Yes. Well, we knew that 100 was the bottom line that we needed because the stats we used, of course, were robust. And anything beyond that would have been gravy. And so we were satisfied with 216 usable questionnaires. But again, the ideal would have been closer to 400. We are releasing this information in detail, actually, in a book that's coming out this year. At this point in time, it's called Cracking the Hacker Myths. It will be published by Quorum Books in Westport, Connecticut. So if any of you were interested in getting more details and hearing our explanation for why we went ahead, the items will appear in the book. Yes? Is it possible that some were legitimately inconsistent? Yes, we're the first to acknowledge that self-report instruments are always error-filled, okay, not necessarily representative of the population. But I must say that it took on average an hour for people to complete this. And those who started it seemed committed to finishing it. And when we did the face-to-face interviews, because that was another check that we had, if people filled out the questionnaire, would they even bother meeting with us one-on-one, and what would their story be? Would it be similar to what we found in writing? And they assured us that that was the case. So if they were going to participate, they said going to be as honest as they could be. Okay, we also looked at mood disorder. Because allegedly this population is creative, and allegedly creative people are mood disordered, which is a finding that I found for corporate leaders. So that on average 40% of the corporate leaders in Canada self-disclosed and shared with us that they felt that they were at least hypomanic, and that helped them with their creativity. As much as 40% admitted to being quite severely mood disordered. So we were interested, of course, in the hacker population to see if a parallel existed. And our problem was that we really didn't have an instrument, a self-report instrument to use, because most mood disorders are assessed using a face-to-face interview between a psychiatrist or psychologist and a client. However, when I wrote my book, Management in the Mirror, Stress and Emotional Dysfunction Lies at the Top, on corporate leaders, I worked with Dr. Jean Endicott from the U.S. to develop a self-report instrument on mood disorder, and we amended that and used that instead. personality, key issue for us. Not much is known about hackers, insiders or outsiders, other than they're introverted and they're allegedly creative. And so I was interested in getting a clearer view of the typing. And when I talk about typing, Dr. H.J. Eysenck and I had consulted on the corporate leader study. I decided to use an instrument that Grossart Medicek and he had developed over in Europe. Why? Because a lot of information was obtained. I was able to determine whether the hacker population is predominantly type A in character. And you've probably all heard about that, the cardiovascular prone individual who dies at early age because they're neurotic, under stress, they're perfectionistic, hard driving, job involved, competitive, impatient. Right. Now, according to Dr. Kimberly Young, many hackers are addicts. By inference, therefore, they are type A neurotics. Okay. We were interested in seeing if that indeed were the case. Beyond that, we were looking at the degree of self-healing potential that exists in the hacker community, what we call the type B predisposition. That means you're well balanced, moderated. You know, you save your energy in part to deal with social emotional issues, and in part to deal with task issues. But beyond that, we were also interested in some relatively unexplored areas in the North American population in terms of personality, including the type C or cancer prone predisposition. There are basically two strains of a type C personality, the major one being strain one, the overly concerned individual with harmony. These people are what we call noise in types. They repress things that are distressing them. They tend to get depressed because of that, the venting of noise inwardly. And eventually, if they maintain themselves in a chronic state of distress, we find that cancer erupts. The other strain that we found very prevalent in the corporate leader population was the type C strain 2, which again is the noise denier type. And they tend to be over rational and anti-emotional, poker faced individuals who sort of bury their troubles and deny that they have a problem. I was also interested in the psychopathic end of things, the narcissistic sort of high anger capability to attack. And so what we call the type 3 was also investigated in part of the personality assessment. Beyond that, I was interested in what I call the addictive personality, and I had written a book last year called Stalking, Harassment, Murder in the Workplace, where I studied stalkers, and I was interested in what we call type 6 personality, which is an obsessive personality, and I was curious to see how high the hacking community would rate given the myths that are out there about the community being addictive. So, of course, that section was included as well. Moving on, and I must say, just going back to the stress symptomology, on surface, the information may look superficial, asking people, you know, how long and how often they've had nausea for. But what I must share with you is underneath the response set is a richness of information that we can obtain about their clustering on certain symptoms that tell us that they are suffering from anxiety, depression, interpersonal sensitivity, anger, hostility, and what we call mind-body disorders, asthma being one of them, arthritis being another. So all of that was assessed at the same time. My colleague, Dr. Dodge, was really interested in the problem-solving and decision-making potential of the hacker community. And he insisted that we include Roe's work, Roe and colleagues' work, and basically the four categories we looked at was the degree of cognitive complexity, ranging from what we call directive or sort of low-level cognitive complexity through analytical, conceptual, and finally behavioral, which has a very large human interaction component. That was the last section, and by the time you know people got to page 22, they were exhausted, but if they were committed to the study, as I said, they were able to supply an address or an email address where we could send the information when the analysis was completed. So,
may I ask you a question?
Yes.
Can you provide a definition of hacker, or was that agreed on, or as part of self-assessment?
We did not, and again, I know I have had my critics. I try not to say as much Well, I guess I tried to say as little as I could because I didn't want to influence the findings. So if people agreed to complete the survey, again, I assume that they were engaged in hacking-related activities. And in the questionnaire, we have the respondents detail what those activities are, how much of the time of the week they spend doing each one of those things. So that was sort of our check. But I can tell you, I have a definition here from page 20 of the manuscript from our book. I said, like other researchers before us, the research team began with a broad definition for hacker types, including persons who over time have enjoyed learning the details of computer systems and how to stretch their capabilities, as well as those who have indulged in any of the following activities. Gained unauthorized access to computer systems, copied software without authorization, obtained free telephone data calls by manipulating computer systems, wrote viruses, gained unauthorized access to private branch exchanges or voicemail systems, and so on. We differentiated the white hat hackers from the black hat. The latter, also known as professional criminals, were those interested in security breaches for financial gain, for revenge, or for sabotage. Professional criminal activities, we affirm, may include any of the following: industrial espionage, i.e. cyber terrorism, selling personal information to others without proper authorization, electronic funds transfer without proper authorization, information warfare, dealing in online child pornography, and so on. Okay, now, yes, sir. All 216 people were assessed as falling predominantly into the white hat or the black hat. We asked about their motivation for hacking, and that item in particular helped us to filter our data. So we had a number of ways that we assessed white hat and black hat, and again, all that's detailed in the book. Now, in terms of number of respondents, 39% came from the H2K in New York City, 61% came from DEF CON here, 91% of the respondents were male, 9% were female, which is, you know, pretty consistent with you know, the estimates that have been published to date in terms of demographic information. The mean age for respondents was 27.39 years. The youngest was 14, the oldest was 61. 10 countries were represented in the response set, at 93% from the United States. Some other facts on respondents: a median education was 1 to 3 years of college, business, or trade school. We had in the sample those who had been charged as well as those who had not been of hacking-related crimes. In fact, 9% disclosed that they had been charged with hacking-related crimes. And of the 9% who were charged, 32% were sentenced. An additional 18% of respondents were charged with crimes other than hacking-related, and of this 18%, 42% said that they were sentenced. Now we go on to the 20 myths that we studied. And I mean, we actually did more than 20, but this is was an easy way for us to categorize. And the theme, I guess, if I could be so bold is to share this, of the book: what you don't understand, you fear. I guess I don't have to get into what that means if you review the media reports on the hacker community, or if you even share with anyone, you know, in Las Vegas that you're coming to DEF CON and to the hacker convention. You can just sort of see them rolling their eyes and having all sorts of thoughts about who you are. And that pretty well is what motivated us to do this study. We think that there is a lot of misunderstanding out in the community. We also had an expert in legislation who outlined the laws in Canada, the U.S., and Britain. Those are the three jurisdictions that we cover. Anyhow, we wanted to set the playing field clear. Yes. Well, again, the question was, did we really come from a sort of an abnormal clinical psych point of view in terms of the instruments that we used to assess the community? And the answer is no, we didn't. I mean, we had both ends, right? So we may have assessed stress, but we have standards. We had a section in there at the end. If there's anything that we didn't cover, if there's anything you just want to say to us, fill in this section. And we did get some essays on what life's all about. And again, the one-on-one interviews helped us to get a clear understanding of the respondent's satisfaction with life. And also as a check for me, if an individual tells me that they're not stressed, that, you know, I am a clinician and this is what I do in part for a living when I'm not the director of a business school, what I do is I look for cues in the individual, nonverbal cues and other cues that would indicate a paralinguistic, that would indicate a high distress phenomenon. So the one-on-one interview was critical for us as a check to this self-report information that we were obtaining. So there were, again, a number of checks and balances. It's not a perfect study, don't get me wrong, all right? But we did the best that we could with the information we had and the opportunity that was availed to us. Okay, now I'd like to just, time is moving on here. We have about 20 minutes, I guess, left, and perhaps you have some additional questions that you want to ask at the end. We have a sort of interesting sideline to our book, a number of cases of hackers, some who have been charged and have served sentences, and others who just have some interesting things to say about the hacker community. And so we have case studies detailed in our information as well. But basically, from a business point of view, we're interested in hang-ups that people have about doing e-commerce. And again, these hang-ups are based in part on their myths that they maintain are true about the hacker community. So we had a business reason for undertaking this research project, okay? Also in the Globe and Mail in Canada, following the completion of last year's DEF CON conference, there were two interesting pieces written, one by Victor Kong, and the Globe and Mail entitled his little segment, "Don't Hire DEF CON Hackers." And as Victor says, this was probably the most controversial piece that the Globe and Mail had in ages, okay? But Victor has agreed to let us use his little paragraph about why he said you shouldn't hire DEF CON hackers, or at least why the Globe retitled his piece to say that. And on the other side, we have Laird Brown, who wrote in after Victor, and his article was called "Hackers Aren't Criminals, They're the Best Kind of Security." So we basically, in terms of detailing our findings, went along those two themes. So, you know, we said, well, what does the data tell us? Okay? So now we come to the last part of my presentation, and that's the 20 myths that we sort of categorized their findings along. And this is where I'd like to have some interaction coming from you, because I guess as a teacher, I know at the end of the day, people tend to get tired, and it's the same old, same old. So I thought I'd give you a chance to tell me whether you think the following 20 hacker myths were supported or not by data, and then I'll tell you what score was at the end, okay, like if you were writing a test, given the information we had before us, what we'd get. Okay, so we'll have some discussion here. I mean, I'll tell you what the myth was, and we can have some back and forth for a few minutes, and then I'll ask you to come to closure. Do you think that's true or false? All right? And at the end, we'll find out how many you sort of got right, how many got wrong. Yes. Oh, I knew you'd ask that. Well, I tell you which ones are true and which ones are false. Mm. Let me come back to that, all right? I told you I'm in business, right? Okay, let's start the first one. Hackers are generally self-taught. Any ideas on that one? True or false? We hear overwhelming true, and I heard a false. Let's just have some statement about why you think it's true. Yes. Okay, so you know, if I could just sort of paraphrase, I think what the lady just said is that there is a lot of self-teaching within the community, not necessarily through the formal educational route. Yes. Okay, so this gentleman's saying that basically there seems to be an interest in computing and electronics, that sort of thing, and then eventually the formal schooling comes in, but there's a lot of sort of self-teaching along the way. Okay, because we're going to run out of time, if we don't do this quickly, I just need to have closure, but I'm going to go with the majority. Show of hands, please. How many think that hackers are generally self-taught? Okay, so how many think that they're not? Okay, and this is not a faculty meeting, so we won't ask for abstentions. Okay, so you think that's true. Okay, number two, hackers have a predisposition and the capability to be multitasked. So we're talking about cognitive complexity and behavioral predispositioning here. Any thoughts on that? Again, hackers have the predisposition and the capability to be multitasked. Okay, interesting comment here that there seems to be sort of a fixation by individuals in the hacker community on a problem that needs to be solved, and they sort of go at it for a while. They become obsessed is the word that this individual used, rather than having a sort of a broad interest. It's an interesting statement. Yes. No, well, I will, yes, I can understand, you know, your question that you're wanting me to share this information, and at the end I will share with you how many, you know, were right, how many were wrong, and where you were wrong, okay? So I'm not trying to, you know, do anything undercover here. Yes. while there may be an obsession with a particular task, this individual says that he believes that a number of people in the community actually do multitask. They work on multiple projects at one time, and we do discuss both of those issues. So I'll call the question. How many believe this is true, that hackers have the predisposition and the capability to be multitask? And how many think that's false? Hey, I would say that most of you seem to be suggesting it's true, although, you know, it's not as clear cut as the first question. Next one, hackers either have, and we found this interesting, no sexual activity or they have open sex. Okay, so the two extremes, so this is a myth that keeps reappearing, you know, you're open sex, I mean, we're talking open sex. Well, the question was, what do you mean by open sex? And I didn't define it. Others have, by, you know, multiple partners in public, yes. Okay, in public, at parties, okay? Or no sexual activity at all, in part because, you know, you're so addicted to your computer that you don't have time for people, right? So we have a comment here, yes? Okay, there's a comment here, and an interesting one. What about segments within the population looking at gender? And I can tell you, we did look at males versus females in terms of respondents and different patterns that existed along these 20 myths. We looked at younger versus older, and again, when I mean younger, I'm talking the under age 30 group versus the over age 30. Now, according to Hans Selye and other stress academics, by the time we reach age 30, we pretty well have, if we have enough potential, moved into more of a self-healing range than a disease-prone range. We were interested in looking at if by the time hackers reach age 30, whether they're, you know, on the route of the majority of working adults. So we investigated that. So, and charged and not charged. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All I can say is that we did look at age differences, gender differences, and charged versus not charged differences. We also looked at black hat versus white hat. Okay. So again, we go with every one of these myths, and we talk about what we found. So your point is well taken. Yeah. There's a clarifying question. Yes. Well, the clarifying question was, is this sex with oneself or with a partner? Okay, and we actually, you know, we got into all sorts of categories here. So, you know, you may find that your clarification is a little bit unique, but we did get into some detail in our question. I'm just going to call the question here then. How many think that this myth was supported, that hackers either have no sexual activity or they have open sex? All those feeling this is true? Okay, all right, false? All right. Next one. Hacker convention attendees are a threat to network administrators. Okay, we have one person who says, speaking from personal experience, yes, I'm a threat. Any other comments on that one? Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, well, these are all sort of ambiguous, but again, we do detail how many of the respondents were students, how many were security experts, how many were engineers, and so we go through that whole thing, and, you know, all I can say at this point, because we are short of time, is that we did look at that, all right? So, quickly, how many feel that hacker convention attendees are a threat to network administrators? True? False? Ooh, okay. We're sort of tied on that one, I think. Next one, hacker convention attendees can best be described as addicted. Addicted to their computer. Hacking activities. Now, let me just share this with you. Dr. Young says that if you spend 35 hours or more on your computer per week, you're addicted. Look, I do write about that statement, okay? So I could tell that one got a rise out of you. And I must say that we do talk about differences, and there were some, between the black hat segment and the white hat segment. And by the indicators that we had, about 9% of the respondents were black hat. Okay, so I'm going to call the question here. And I'm going to expect noise, but hacker convention attendees can best be described as addicted. True. Using that definition, 35 hours or more. It could be employed. It could be employed. And again, what we did deal with that in the questionnaire. Okay. So how many feel outside of your employment? Outside. Okay. Question, hacker convention attendees can best be described as addicted. False. Okay, along that line, hackers are so addicted that they have odd sleeping patterns. Okay, the myth is that hackers hack all night and sleep during the day. Okay. Okay, how many people feel that that's true? Hackers are so addicted that they have odd sleeping patterns. Comments, yes. Again, bear with me. I didn't make up these myths. Okay, all I do is I deal with them and I say this is what the data says. Okay, so I agree with a lot of the comments that you're making, and you'll see that we say similar things. Okay, but I'm just telling you these myths are out there. Okay, and we wanted to know what does the community say. All right. So how many think this is true? Hackers are so addicted that they have odd sleeping patterns. False. How many think it's false? Okay, so next one. Hackers approaching their 30s are gainfully employed. want fries with that, okay? And again, this goes back to Hans Selye's, you know, statements and other researchers and academic statements. But by the time you reach 30, no matter what it is you're doing, you're probably gainfully employed. All right. So is that true for hackers? How many say that is true? How many say it's false? Okay. So it looks like the truth. Take that. Next one. Hackers prefer black hat activities like breaking into systems to cause damage. Hackers prefer black hat activities like breaking into systems to cause damage. That was the statement. One more time. Hackers prefer black hat activities like breaking into systems to cause damage. This is what the press does quite often, right? And if Mafia Boy story makes the front page, you know, you'll read about it for the next 6 months, right? So, again, much of the media says that the majority of the community is out there to cause damage. And this is the fear that is prevalent, actually, in much of society today and in business around e-commerce. So I'll call the question, hackers prefer black hat activities like breaking into systems to cause damage. How many think that's true? How many think it's false? Okay, next one. Comments, yes?
I'm a member of the media.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I must apologize. A member of the media here took exception to that last statement, so I will apologize to you. Okay, next one. After consulting with colleagues, hackers tend to act alone. Again, after consulting with colleagues, hackers tend to act alone. I love this comment. Hey, let's just call the question, shall we? How many think that's true? After consulting with colleagues, hackers tend to act alone. How many think that's false? Ah, that actually, well, kind of tied on that one. Next one, hackers are selective about their collaborators. How many think that's true? Hackers are selective about their collaborators. Whoa, overwhelming. True on that one. Next one. Hackers communicate only with their computers, not with other people. Okay, we have like 5 minutes to get through this. Hackers communicate only with their computers, not with other people. How many think that's true? I think he said he can only answer that if we have a monitor. Is that correct? Okay, how many think that's true? Hackers communicate only with their computers, not with other people. How many think that's false? Overwhelming false. Next one, hackers are primarily motivated by revenge, reputation enhancement, and financial gain. Yeah, it is a lot together. Okay, well, again, I'm telling you, these are the myths that are out there. So hackers are primarily motivated by revenge, reputation enhancement, and financial gain. How many think that's true? How many think that's false? Okay. Yes. Okay, yeah, no, I agree with you, yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. And again, I'm not trying to say that I have the answers to that. I wrote these, but they're out there, and we do document where they come from, all right? So, and I, believe me, if I had, you know, a day, I'd give you all sorts of details that I have, but I don't. I have, you know, 50 minutes, and I try to, you know, group our findings so that you can understand what we did. Yeah, well, again, what you have to bear in mind is that we had 22 pages of data to work with, okay? So, and we explain in detail how we analyzed to get through the fog, all right? So I respect your comments, and I mean, it was a challenge for us as well, but what I'm trying to do is to share with you what's out there, okay, and whether it's founded or not, and whether it's founded for males versus females or under 30 or over 30, black hats, white hats, or nobody. That's the whole reason that we commit ourselves to this undertaking. So, again,
who sponsored this research?
Okay. All right. We have a call for the bottom line here. So again, the question was about hackers are primarily motivated by revenge, reputation enhancement, financial gain. The majority said false. The next item: hackers report lots of stress symptoms in the short term and are therefore poor stress copers. Hackers report lots of stress symptoms in the short term and are therefore poor stress copers. Now, this comes with the, you know, hackers are addicted, neurotic type A's, and they're highly distressed because, you know, society doesn't understand them and doesn't, you know, yada, yada, yada. Okay, so that's where this statement comes from. To put it in context, true or false, hackers report lots of stress symptoms in the short term. How many think that's true? How many think it's false? Okay, false takes it. Next one, hackers tend to use handles rather than real names when they act. I know. Yeah, how many think that's true? All right, false. Okay, next one, hackers self-report having childhoods with trauma, including alcoholic parents, abuse, physical, mental. Okay, how many think that's true? Hackers self-report having childhoods with trauma. How many think it's false? False takes it. Next one, hackers are extremely creative individuals. How many think that's true? How many think it's false? Okay, we use Dubrin's instruments. Next one, hackers self-report mood disorder episodes over their adulthood. So that's mood disorder, meaning, you know, mania, depression. Okay, how many think that's true? Hackers self-report mood disorder episodes over their adulthood. How many think it's false? I have a tie on that one. Next one, hackers are creatively analytical and conceptual in their decision-making style. This would indicate extremely high cognitive complexity and lateral thinking. How many think that's true? How many think it's false? True takes it. Okay, next one, the black hat hackers do manifest obsessive behaviors. How many think that's true? again, we get into it in detail, but just if you go with the definition of over 35 hours per week with a revenge motive. Okay, well, I know that it's difficult to speak on behalf of others, and again, the instrument gave us 216 individual responses, okay? So I'm asking you, you're here, if you had to, you know, this were a cosmopolitan type, you know, survey, but in a, let's say, an IT publication, how would you respond, and what does the data say? All right, so question, the black hat hackers manifest obsessive behaviors. How many think that's true? How many think it's false? So we're tied on that one. And we're coming to the end here. Last one, hacker self-report type A, it's cardiovascular prone, personality predispositions primarily. How many think that's true? Neurotic type A, hard driving, competitive, job involvement type of behavior. How many think that's true? How many think it's false? And tie on that one. The one that, okay, the number four, after consulting with colleagues, hackers act alone. That does not give a clear finding, but basically, of those that we found were true, here are the ones that you got correct. The hackers are generally self-taught. Hackers have the predisposition, the capability to be multitasked. Hackers approaching their 30s are gainfully employed. Hackers are selective about their collaborators. Hackers obviously tend to use handles rather than real names when they act. You have some that you thought were false that we found were actually true. Hackers are creatively analytical and conceptual in their decision-making styles. And the ones that we found were false, the group here pretty well found that they were false as well. So I won't sort of dig into the next speaker's time, but I want to thank you, and again, my objective was to get back to you because I didn't want you to think that we undertook the survey. And as we heard from so many people when they completed it, that there are people, academics and scientists and others, who appear at this conference have asked you to partake in research studies and then never gave feedback to you. So we wanted to give feedback to the community. Again, the individuals who have requested personal summaries, those are forthcoming. We're just completing those now. And for the rest of you who are interested in seeing how we dealt with some of these general statements, well, again, I'm from business. Like the gentleman back there, you can buy the book. Okay, so thanks again for your time. Enjoy the rest of the conference.